Good morning. How are you? Today, we're going to finish up a series talking about Jesus is. We're switching the service around a little bit because we're going to talk about Jesus being a healer. At the end of the service, I want to give you an opportunity to come forward for prayer. We've got people that will be here to pray with you if you'd like to do that. That way it's more specific for your needs, and I think that's important, especially when we get to prayer and talking to the Father. So that's at the end of the message. So because of that, we normally, Sean and the band come back up. We have our offering then. We're going to do our offering now, so I want you to prepare. I'll read a couple of announcements and some things, and then we'll have the ushers come around. We'll just wait a moment so you can prepare for the offering. So we're going to take the offering just a moment so we can go right into a prayer time at the end of the service right now. So let's pray for our offering right now. Lord God, we just thank you for this opportunity to give back to you. We know that you are a giver, and you have taught us to be givers as well. We thank you for opportunities like this to give back to you. Thank you, God, that you are the healer, that you are a storm chaser, that you are hope, and you are love, and you are truth, and that you're a party animal as well. We thank you, God, for the things that we've learned about you. And I pray that we'll always be learning more, but not just learning it, but applying it to our lives every day. Bless those who give today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me go over a couple announcements while the ushers go ahead and take the offering. Go ahead and do that now if you don't mind. Tom and Sue Springer, wedding anniversary. Woo! They're in the house. 34, correct? See, I remembered. 34 years. That sounded weak and anemic. Yeah. 34 years. Yeah. People are like suckers. Yeah, anyway. I don't know. Okay. So, also, see the boxes up here? Many of you have been taking boxes. This was filled up the last few weeks before. Thank you so much. And then you make sure you bring them back. You know, I did that one year, and I had like three or four in my trunk. It was after Christmas. I'm embarrassed to say that. But make sure you bring them back. In each box, it tells you, too, what you need to put in the box to fill the box. Okay? So I understand. Here's some things that we need, some extra things to fill boxes. Here they are. Now I feel like my mother. When I used to, remember, she's, you know, your mom, right? She might still do this. Toothpaste. We need toothpaste, we need socks, children's socks, or up to age 14, I think it is, right? Yeah. We need small toys that will fit in a box, not ones that will fit in your mouth, you know what I mean? It tells you what you need. And also, small stuffed animals would be really cool, okay? So they get an animal or something. None of it should be used, you know? Just saying. Okay. That would be kind of gross. Give somebody your old use stuff. Church picnic is on the 30th of October in a bounce house. We're going to do smoked pork. That's going to be a lot of work, but we're excited about that. And I'm going to make sure that I bring some popsicles for you. That's going to be fun as well. But also, if you would, please bring a dish to pass, a dessert, something like that, and chairs to sit. Looks like the weather's going to be great. I know next weekend is going to be like the dew point's invigorating, so that should be fun. It says invigorating. I'm ready. Who wants to be invigorated? It's just, you know, it's just too long. You know what I'm saying? New series starts, a prayer request. Also, please make sure that you give us your prayer request. Prayer is the heartbeat of the church, and we want to continue to pray for your needs. That's one of the reasons we're also going to have an opportunity for prayer time after service or during service, the end of service today. Discussion groups meet every Sunday morning between 8:30 and 9 here in the library. If you'd like to join us, that would be great. And new series starts next Sunday. You asked for it. Some of the topics we're going to talk about are, these are things you wanted to hear about. So, where are dinosaurs in the Bible? Why does God allow evil? I put some of your things together, trying to put them together. Evil, pain, and suffering in the world? Good question. Are we living in the last days of Earth? It's another one we're going to answer. And what is heaven like? Okay? Among others. So those are the things that we're going to be talking about over the next couple of weeks, probably 3 or 4 weeks. So let's pray together and get started. Lord God, we just thank you for this opportunity to come before you. I just pray my words would be your words, that we would hear what we need to hear, and we would apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, like I said, we're ending up a series trying to learn as much as we can about who Jesus is, and I'm not sure how you would fill in this blank, you know, but so far, here's what we've been doing. Here's how we've been filling in the blanks. The first week, we said that Jesus is hope, and there's a lot of things in this world that are overrated, but hope's not one of them. Jesus brings hope not only for eternal life, but he brings hope for the life that we're currently living, and it's really hard to live without hope. That's why he came to bring it. Then the second week, we talked about the fact that Jesus is love. And it's hard to read through the Bible without realizing that Jesus is love. He wasn't afraid to step into people's lives, their messy lives, and step up for the underdog. He tore down the walls of racism and gender. He embraced people like no one else ever had before. So you got to fill in the blank, no matter how you feel about Jesus and his word. The fact is, Jesus very clearly shows us that he is love. And then we talked about how Jesus is a storm chaser. He was called the Prince of Peace. And we learned that peace is not necessarily the absence of conflict. It's that calm in the middle of the conflict quite often. And sometimes Jesus does look at the storm and say, "Peace, be still." And sometimes he looks at us in the middle of that storm and says, "Peace, be still. I promise you, I'll get you through the storm." And then we learn that Jesus is truth. And he didn't just know some truth. He didn't just claim to be some enlightenment toward truth. He didn't even claim to tell the truth. He claimed to be the truth. Be the truth. That's a staggering claim. If truth is rooted in the eternal word of God, that God is yesterday the same, today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever, that's good news. Because that gives us something strong and solid and immovable on which to build a great life. And last week we said that Jesus is a party animal, and he came with joy and laughter, and he loved hanging around with people, all kinds of people. And he went to all kinds of parties and dinners and weddings and wedding receptions because he knew people needed a touch from God, and he knew that's where he could meet them. We talked about how the people who were least like Jesus liked Jesus. And Jesus liked them. And he wanted them to know no matter what they had done in their life, through God's grace, they all could be in. Jesus is the greatest person who has ever walked this earth. And if you missed any of these messages, you can go to tampajourney.com. Messages are there. You can catch up. So this week, how do we fill this in for our last week? Jesus is healer. There's so many stories about how Jesus healed people, whether it was touching an untouchable person with leprosy or healing some poor blind beggar, bringing sanity to someone who was struggling with that, or the story of a desperate woman who reaches out through the crowd on her knees as she touches the bottom of Jesus' robe and she discovers healing. Lots of amazing healing stories. Back in Jesus' day, they believed that there was something mystical about the power of water in this pool, the Pool of Bethesda. And so people would hang around this pool. And they thought if they could get into the pool, they could be healed. And there's a story in the Gospel of John about this guy who was an invalid for 38 years. A long time. Longer than Sue and Tom have been married. And his friends had laid him by the pool. This pool. And before Jesus heals this guy, Jesus asks him a very profound question. He looked at this guy, an invalid for 38 years, and he says, "Do you want to get well?" Do you want to get well? And, you know, I have to admit, I used to think that's a really stupid question. A dumb question. Of course he wants to get well. He's been an invalid for 38 years. But the longer I live, the longer I have been in ministry, I realize that's not a dumb question at all. In fact, I think it's one of the most important questions you can hear Jesus ask you and ask yourself. In Alcoholics Anonymous, there's this principle that God could and would if he were sought. And it's just so true. But it's also true then, if God could and would if he were sought, it's also true then, God can't and won't if he's not. Right? So I wonder if Jesus the healer might be asking you today, do you want to get well? Really? I mean, do you want to get well? I want us to walk through Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, it says this. A few days later, when Jesus entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowering the mat the man was lying on. Now, I just want to pause here for a moment and say, those are some really good friends. Those are really good friends. We all need some friends like that in our lives, don't we? If I could just, they're going, hey, if we could just get him to Jesus, if we could just get him there. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sin but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their heart, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or say, get up and take your mat and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. So he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. He got up, took his mat, walked out in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. That's an amazing story when you look at it, when you focus on it. But I have to tell you this, or I don't have to tell you this, do I? That Jesus as the healer doesn't always heal us physically like that, does he? You and I live in such a broken world that is full of disease. There's so much pain in this world. We all have friends and family members, people in our lives that are struggling. The reality is that sometimes even the most innocent get caught in the fallout of living in this toxic world. This once perfect world has been marred by centuries of rebellion. Sin brought disease. Sin brought corruption and abuse and heartbreak and death. And that's why the scripture says that all creation is just groaning. It's just waiting to be made right again. And the good news is it will be made right again. It will be totally healed someday. But until that day, like they say, you know, hashtag, the struggle is real, isn't it? physical healing is one thing. I'm guessing a lot of us have experienced the physical healing from God. In fact, I'm guessing that some of us have been healed from things that we didn't even know we had. I know so many of us have experienced emotional healing. We were a wreck, and God healed us from the inside out. Some of us have experienced relational healing. Some of us have experienced healing from addictions that gripped our lives. Some of us have experienced healing from haunting memories that we thought that we would just never get rid of. We've experienced healing from regret, from our shame, from guilt, from our past. The most amazing thing about Jesus the healer is that he does have the authority and the ability to take away that terminal disease called sin that separates us from God and gives us eternal life. In fact, he's the only one who can bring that kind of healing to anyone, to any person. There's a scripture in Ezekiel in the Old Testament. Take a look at this. New Living Translation says it this way. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. That's a deal. You talk about healing. You know, I've been given a heart transplant. That's a miracle. Jesus didn't do miracles to show off. He didn't do miracles to build a big fan base or to trend on Twitter or something. You know, he healed people. He touched people because he loved people. But here's the whole deal about Jesus healing people. Healing their body was not the end goal. Jesus didn't choose to heal everybody. I mean, if physical healing was the end goal, then none of them he did heal would have died. Right? But they all eventually died. So Jesus came to do a greater healing. I like the way Philip Yancey puts it. He said this: by no means did Jesus eliminate all suffering. He healed only a few in one small patch of the globe. But he did signify an answer to the question of whether God cares. Regardless of how the world treats them, the poor and the sick have assurance because of Jesus. God knows no undesirables. Jesus only puts people in one category: priceless. Priceless. That's it. So priceless that he took the wrath of our rebellion and he gave us eternal life in return. In John 14, Jesus told his disciples, listen, you've seen a lot of incredible things. You've been with me for 3 years. You've seen incredible things. But I'm telling you that you will do greater things than I will. You will do greater thing than the things that you've seen. You will get to love people and point them to the one who can bring ultimate healing, not just to their temporary bodies, but to their ultimate souls. You're going to get introduce them to the one who can give them the real life right now, give them joy and endurance to carry them through on the promise of eternal life. Yes, guys, you're going to do greater things. And in that story, Jesus with the paralyzed man, it used to puzzle me why Jesus told this man, this paralyzed man, take up your mat and what? Walk, right? Take up your mat and walk. My question about that was this. Why the mat? Right? He's paralyzed. Wouldn't you say just get up and walk? He says, take up your mat and walk. I mean, let's face it. That mat had to be gross. When you think about it, right? It had a stink. It was dirty and smelly. You would have thought that Jesus would have said, okay, you're going to need to throw that thing away and get up. Just discard it. And I don't know if I'm right or not. I don't know, but hear me out. Here's the reason I think Jesus told him to take up his mat and walk. Because the mat was his story. Think about it. The mat was his story. It was who he was. It's his story. We all have a story. We all have a mat. God is into recycling, thank God. God can take all the pain and all the dents and all the dings in your life and then recycle them into this incredible story that can make a difference in someone else's life. You see, God not only wants to save you and forgive you and restore you and change you and guide you and heal you, he wants to use you. He wants to use you. So take up your mat and walk. Even though you and I can make a royal mess of our lives, and we do, if we humble ourselves and we let Jesus the healer go to work from the inside out, God can recycle all that junk for good. He wants to heal us, and he wants to use us as a wounded healer. That's how he wants to use us, as wounded healers. He wants to use your mat, your story, to touch other people's lives. Many of us know how helpful to many people AA's 12-step program can be. And the 12th step, I've been looking at it. I changed it a little bit. I want to show it to you. I borrowed this language, made a little variation in step 12. Those of you who are familiar with this stand out, but even if not, I wanted to put it up. This is step 12 with some variations. Having experienced a spiritual awakening and Jesus' healing touch, I must now step out of myself and encourage others with my story and continually changing life. That's part of our healing. I use that phrase at the end there, continually changing life, because you don't have to wait until you're completely there to be used by God. And sometimes we think that, don't we? I'm not ready yet. I'm not there yet. I can't be used yet. You can be used. God will use a person in process. He will use you no matter where you are if you just open yourself up. You may not yet have all the great insights that you will have to offer. You may not yet have the great wisdom and counsel that people can give that may be further down the road than you, but you can say to people this. You can say, listen. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm nowhere close to where I used to be. Amen? I don't understand it all yet, but God is healing me. He's changing me from the inside out. I surrender to God's power every day, and guess what? He's changing me. I don't understand it all. It's supernatural. But he can heal you too. You see, there's always the so that involved in the transformation and change. Let me explain what I mean by that. Companies make changes so that they can stay competitive, for example, in the marketplace. Sports teams will make changes. Why do they make changes? So that they might win a championship. That's their goal. God does the same thing when he heals a person like me and you. I want us to look at Ephesians chapter 2. Take a look at this. God saved you by his grace when you believed. You can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done, so none of us can boast about it. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. See the next two words, what are they? So that, here's the reason that he did these things, we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. If you will cooperate with the leadership of Jesus, he can heal all kinds of stuff inside of you, and he will. He can recycle your pain, all your failures, all your regrets, all your screw-ups. He can take any piece of your past, any piece of your past, and turn it into this unexpected ministry to help other people. When you become humble and broken and totally dependent upon God, when you overflow with gratitude for his healing touch in your life, for the second shot that you got in life, that's when you start to become a real player in God's redemptive plan, and it's a huge part in your continued healing. It's a process. Here's another so that scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Take a look at this. He comforts us in all our troubles. Why? Or so that, right? We can comfort others. That's why he comforts us. Why? So you can keep it to yourself, you selfish people. It's not why, right? Why? So that he can comfort others when they are troubled. We will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Sometimes you wonder, how can God use me? But you're sitting there with someone who needs a healing touch from God. You are the right person at the right time in the right place, being used for the purposes of God. You know, I was supposed to be on that flight. I was supposed to be at that restaurant. I was supposed to be at the car wash, at the grocery store, wherever it is, when you run into people and you have conversations. I was supposed to be at my children's soccer game and baseball game. I was the right person there at the right time being used for the right purposes of God. God used me. I opened my mouth and we talked and we shared and I was able to help. God is using me as a wounded healer because we're all wounded healers. Now, please don't misunderstand me. People are helped immensely when we share from our strengths. That's very true. But I'm telling you, at least in my experience, many more are helped when we're not afraid to share our weaknesses. When you take up that mat, that smelly, stinky mat, and you walk, and you take it with you. So let me ask you, who's better to sit down with someone going through a divorce than somebody who's experienced that pain? Who's better to sit down with someone with an eating disorder than someone who has been there? Who better to walk the road of recovery with someone who has struggled with some addictions in their life and found healing? Who better to sit down with someone who has known the pain of unfaithfulness or bankruptcy or the loss of a child or chemotherapy than someone who has been there? There is no more effective healer than a wounded healer. Someone who's been there. And God uses our past to pour his healing hope into other people. And God never, ever wastes a hurt. So if you're willing to take all that pain, Jesus, give him the pain because he's willing to take it from us. He will take all of our struggles and he will recycle it in such a way that your life will have this ripple effect on other people in ways that you never dreamed. So take up your mat. Take up your mat and walk. Let the great physician go to work in the areas that you need healing, in the areas that you're not even aware of. When he does that, freedom starts to rush into your life like never before. and you become this wounded healer who is now doing even greater things than temporarily curing disease. You're pointing people to the one who can cure their sin condition and the ache in their soul. So I want to ask you a question today. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? That's not a dumb question. Do you want to get well? Some of you have physical needs or friends or family that do. Maybe you've got some relational tension or emotional pain. Maybe some of you had some big-time financial challenges or maybe a family situation that's just really out of whack. Maybe you got some old memories that just won't go away. And you carry around a bunch of regret, and you got some bitterness that just won't go away. You can't let go of it. Maybe you got a habit or an addiction that you just can't break, and it's making a mess of your lives and the lives of the people that you love. Maybe you've got some stress that you just can't relieve, a bunch of anxiety about your job and about your future. So here's what we want to do today. We want to offer you a time of prayer. See, Jesus, the healer, is with us right now. He is here. He tells us that there is healing when we pray for each other. And when we get honest and humble enough to say, God, I need some help. That's when God starts to flow into our lives. So what we're going to do is we're going to have some people come down front in a moment, and we will pray with anybody that needs prayer today. You may decide at the end of this, we're going to sing a song in a moment, we're going to be standing, and you may just walk out the door. That's your prerogative, but we're going to be down here if you'd like prayer. So I'm going to pray now in a moment, and then I'm going to encourage you to get out of your seat and walk down front, and we will meet you down here and pray with you. So I'm going to ask the band to come on up for a song, and let's stand up right now, everybody, and let's pray together. I'm going to pray, and then Sean's going to lead us in a song, and you can move to the front. There'll be people here to pray for you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you have power. You are the God of miracles that can do anything. Jesus, I'm asking that you do some miracles in this place today, to do something that maybe we never dreamed could happen. I pray for those who are sick and tired of being sick and tired and want some healing in their lives. Thank you that you give us hope and a new beginning. God, we all come with different needs. So we want to talk about them right now. Give us the humility and the courage to step out and let somebody pray with us today. Thank you, Jesus, for being a healer. We trust you, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.